All right, everybody, welcome to episode number 5 of Chronic Health Podcast, the official wellness podcast of Greystone Chiropractic in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm Dr. Lee Goldenberg.
I'm Teresa.
I'm Jesse.
And I'm Hunter.
And we're here to bring you all the best information on staying well, staying healthy naturally. Today we're talking about wellness, which is a very broad topic, but really as it relates to chiropractic and what the benefits are of staying on a wellness chiropractic care regimen. And there's a lot of studies that support regular chiropractic care, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Probably going to answer a question or two. I think we had a voicemail from somebody who wanted to leave a question for our podcast. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get everybody else's insight on this as well.
Yeah, first off, how would you actually define wellness?
Oh, God. That's a very awesome question. I would say it's not feeling well, it's functioning well. If you look at even just World Health Organization's definition of health in general, it's the optimal state of physical, mental, and social well-being, not just the absence of a symptom. So I look at all aspects of somebody's health, not just is there a symptom or not. Is there, you know, are they sleeping well? Are they exercising? Are they, you know, hitting the right type of nutrition? Is their nervous system working well? So we look at really a lot of aspects. I would say 5 to 7 different really good aspects to optimize your health.
And so how does chiropractic relate to, say, sleeping well?
Wow, that's another great question. Sleep, I think, most intimately is related to how well the body is processing stress and dealing with stress, as well as how it's able to get into the opposite of stress, which would be rest and repair. So in the body, when we find that we're not able to get into the parasympathetic, which is rest and repair, usually it's because we're in fight or flight. And a lot of times it's because your nervous system is hyperactive, which means you're probably out of adjustment and need that chiropractic care to help reduce that stress response, which they found in several studies, reducing the cortisol. We talked about that in episode 2, I believe, the stress response and how that affects, how chiropractic affects that.
So you get adjusted, you may sleep better, which means you may function better, you may eat better, you may live a better life.
All those things.
So it's, I mean, really they're all interconnected.
I mean, think about if you just slept better, how much more effective are you functionally in the brain the next day? How's your energy change? How does your decision-making change? I mean, so really we have a hand in all of these things.
As a mother of a 2-year-old, I can just attest to the fact that I feel very different having only 3 hours of sleep versus after I get adjusted.
Six or seven
hours of sleep, which is amazing. It's
still
like,
not enough.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle night, though.
So what does chiropractic help with physical and mental health?
Physical and mental. You know, it's funny. They did a study in 2003, and that was published in the Princeton Review, and they found benefits in all sorts of measurements of wellness, of other markers such as like height and weight, physical attributions, meaning people were actually more attractive when they got adjusted. They felt better. This is what they measured. That they held their posture up better, which they deemed in the study as more attractive or physical enhancements, I guess. Mm-hmm. They had better vitals. I mean, literally, height, weight, respiration,
blood pressure,
heart rate, all of these things, and all these different attributes were improved. So, yeah, physical. I would say mental too. A study in 2016 talked about, this is right out of New Zealand, they did a study on the cerebral cortex, which basically handles all the executive functions of the brain, the higher level thinking, and they found people who get adjusted regularly had about 20% on average increase compared to people who were not adjusted of the same health status. So 20% boost of cerebral cortex or brain function means you're enhancing your brain activity better, more efficiently, quicker.
So you look better, you think better, feel
better.
Go
to the bathroom better. I mean, that's another study I'm gonna hit right here. Loss of the cervical curve, which means the neck curve, actually causes constipation in this study. And this was 1987, Rene Caillet did this study, and they found forward head posture can add up to 30 pounds. I'd say more than that, because this was in the 80s before cell phones. Now you're talking 60 to 70 pounds when you're looking at your phone of head weight and extra leverage on the spine, which causes a lot of strain, spinal misalignment, and then the posture changes to the entire spine and spinal cord, which controls the gastrointestinal system, and so especially the large intestines.
See, so. That seems almost non-sequitur, because like you think about like the cervicals at your neck, mm-hmm. and then like it seems on your body so far away from...
It is so far away.
Like,
your
like,
brain
how
is
that?
So far away from your legs. But if you think about it, a misalignment at the top could mm-hmm. affect the lumbar nerves, the low back nerves, which control your legs and your feet. So one thing leads to another. Remember that song, The Fix, back in the 80s? One thing leads to
another.
Are
you going to sing it?
I will on another day, another podcast, when my guitar is nearby and when I learn it. But yeah, maybe we'll do the outro with The Fix this time.
Yes.
If they won't sue me. So...
So I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that, though. So whenever your forward head posture, is it misaligning or is it stretching the spinal cord? Is it misaligning the lower lumbar area?
It's all of the above. So one of the studies that they did in 2005 in, I think it's the Journal of Spine, talked about the forward head position, the loss of the neck curve, actually adding 2 to 3 inches of stretch to the spinal cord. If you think about the spinal cord, it's not like a muscle that you're just going to be able to stretch and get improvement with by stretching. It's actually going to affect signaling when you're stretching it. Because what is it stretching? What is it attached to? The spinal cord is attached to the brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's attached from the brain through the spinal cord to all the nerves through the spine, all the way down to the tailbone, where all the branches come out a little bit above that. So you really, when you're going forward 2 to 3 inches, which is average, most people are worse, especially younger people that are on phones since age 3.
Yeah.
Think about how much strain to that spinal cord signaling and the brain signaling and how it's altered, how those signals are altered and affected.
Yeah, because when I think about, like, say a rubber band and you're stretching it for a long period of time, after a while you lose that elasticity, mm-hmm. it starts breaking down. Is the spinal cord the same way, or is it...
Yeah, if you think about nerve fibers, they find that with compression, mechanical pressure on a nerve fiber, the cells start to die within minutes. Minutes. Mechanotransduction and mechanocompression, basically they talk about that with... misalignment and the weight of gravity and the weight of the head pulling on those structures, it's killing cells right from the beginning. So think about how long most people are dealing with this before they start addressing it in our office. I mean, we experience this. We see people coming in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s for the first time, yet the problem has been there since, what, age 2 or age 1 or literally day 1 from birth.
Mm-hmm.
How long has it had to,
So that's when you want to start. You
really want to start early.
From birth.
If I could go back.
If I could
turn back time.
Oh, here it comes.
Here we go. I'm not going to turn back time because obviously I needed to go through what I needed to in order to be here.
Yeah.
In order to be able to help people, I had to suffer. I always tell people that. I'm like the Cy Sperling of chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody remembers Cy Sperling, he was the president of the Hair Club for Men, but he was also the client. He always talked about that in his commercials.
I'm also a member,
not just the president. So I'm not just your chiropractor. I'm also a patient, and I've been under dealing with a lot of the same issues that people come here for, and I've helped myself get through it and correct it to the point where I'm in what I would consider wellness phase in my life, and not going back into disrepair like a lot of us.
So how often do you get adjusted in order to stay in that wellness state?
For me, it's every week. I get adjusted every week. Everybody else has a different need. But at most, I would say the span of care would be every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember why I say this, 2 week? Why I recommend the 2 week checkups?
Hmm.
There's a lot of research on how quickly the body starts to wear on the joints when there's a misalignment. And so especially the ones that you don't feel, let's say you walked out of your house and kind of got in the car, bumped your head, or slipped on a banana peel, whatever the thought is, and you misalign, but you don't feel terribly painful. You just walk through it, work through it, and you're fine the next day or that day. within 2 weeks, that's still misaligned. Within 2 weeks, it starts to degrade the tissue, the cell and brain and the tissue that it controls through that area starts to alter signals, especially the signals from the cells and tissues to the brain. The afferent communication is interrupted and changed. Also, it starts to send calcium to harden that joint. Why does it do that? It's protection. It says, I don't want you to misalign it further and mess up things worse and like maybe tear a vessel or injure a nerve to the point where you can't repair, but then it stops you from moving completely. Oh. Yeah, because the calcium is there hardening that spot. Literally within 2 weeks, they found this in studies in Journal of Osteopathy. So why wait until, ow, it hurts so bad? Why not just get it corrected? Whether or not you feel the symptoms of the misalignments, because we're all misaligning. Think about how we slept last night. I mean, I know I probably tweaked something out of position sleeping. I know with my job, working on taking care of people, I'm going to be very physical. I know people that sit a lot, people that take care of kids, people that, I mean, literally everything we do.
And stress, like chemical stress plays a big part.
Chemical, physical, and emotional stress, all three play the same role.
We breathe in what we're eating.
So those stresses that we're all dealing with subluxate our spine all the time and misalign us, and we just need to take care of it. So the simplest thing is to just get on the every 2 week plan, unless we find that you need more than that, at the very least for wellness. Now, I'm not talking about the initial chiropractic regimen, because in the initial period, we've got some correction to make. You got to get out of the ditch before you can just stay out of the ditch. That's what I always say. But the best thing is to stay out of it.
What about what about children? Like, if you're a kid, every week, every other week, or what's it like?
Again, it kind of depends on their history and stress levels. I like to check them about every month, but some of them need more than that in the beginning, especially, just to kind of get that train corrected, that pattern and that trajectory right. My kids, I'll check them every week, but it doesn't always mean I have to adjust them every week. Some weeks are harder than others on kids. You know how school, backpacks, and we talked about this last time, about backpack ergonomics and damage of heavy weights on their back. So it really just does depend on what they're dealing with. The landscape is going to be very different this year. We're going to have to navigate this as a team, literally the whole world, as they go back to school virtually and semi-virtually and hybrid and whatnot. So
just all that change creates stress, I imagine.
Yeah. And so who as a parent doesn't need more care at this point? Which I'm not really laughing about. It's just a very important thing when the stress levels get high, that we need to take care of ourselves. What's the biggest problem with most parents? You go and take care of everyone else first. What is the big problem with that? It's like they tell you on the airplane, you know, when the air things come down, the respirators come down.
I have a lot of trouble with that. Like, seeing, like, oh, yeah, you know, put it on yourself before your child, the oxygen. Like, I don't know. Like,
who's going to be there to take care of your child if you're not there? That's why they want you to do it.
It's just so
boring. But that's why I tell parents, you know, I have a lot of parents that bring their kids in and don't get adjusted or don't want to get adjusted at first themselves. They want to take care of their kids. And I'm like, look, I'm 100% in favor of you getting your kids, you know, taken care of, but don't forget about you. Who's going to be there to take care of them if you're not there and you're not well? And let's say you're just bedridden for a week, you know, because you're not feeling great or your migraines or whatever it is. You know, how do you take care of your kids? I remember this happened a few years ago. We got food poisoning and it was so bad that my wife and I were like non-mobile, and we had a toddler at the time who was so energetic and probably more energetic than any of the rest of us together combined. And we're just looking at each other like, who's going to handle him? You know, we're dying, literally dying. And so that is the reality for a lot of people. And we don't want them to fall into that disrepair or fear.
And even in the more insidious ways, like if we're stressed out and we're just, you know, going about our business every day, we might not think about like just how that stress shows up in our life. You know, we just might be more irritable than normal. You know, we don't want that. We want to be like in our optimal self, be our optimal self for our children.
Well,
in the wise words of Teresa yesterday, she said that stress is not what happens to you, it's how you handle it.
Yes, so. It's all about how you react to
it. Somebody else said that first, but thanks.
But that's what I always talk about, though. It's not like we as chiropractors or as people in the wellness field are trying to take away your stress, because who has the power to do that, honestly?
Yeah.
outside of you, we're helping the body adapt to that stress more effectively.
Being proactive.
Yes. And the way you feed yourself and the way you take care of yourself is going to affect that and, you know, help you deal with that more. It does remind me, though, when you were talking about irritability, it reminds me of a study they did, and they found men especially were less irritable when they were under chiropractic care. And
wow.
I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And I like to reiterate that, all you people that are dealing with irritable men, we are kind of irritable, and it's usually because we're subluxated. And it's kind of like that Snickers commercial. You're not you when you're subluxated. You're not you when you're hungry.
You need to make
that. You become
that.
Joe Pesci or somebody else.
You need to do the commercial.
Yeah, so how you doing?
So yeah, I know that, you know, after getting adjusted is really important. I mean, it's important to always drink water, but especially after you get adjusted, how much water do you think you should be drinking?
I usually look at, how much are you drinking? B, how much should you be drinking? And then I don't just try to go from A to B, you know, immediately. Let's say I drink 2 cups a day, and I'm supposed to be drinking like 14, let's say. Uh-huh. It's your body weight in, half your body weight in ounces. So if I weigh 150 pounds, I'm going to try to drink 75 ounces, which is like maybe 6 bottles of water a day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I only drink 2, I'm not just going to jump up to 6 because that's a little shocking to the system.
Yeah.
So I try to drink 3 the next day and then 3.5 or 4,
okay,
you know, and just
so
sort
gradual.
Of build up to it. After an adjustment, I always tell people, especially in the beginning of care, I tell them try to drink a bottle or two between now and, depending on the time of day, within the next like 2 to 3 hours, just that will help you purge some of the toxins and rehydrate so you don't get so sore and revert back to the old way you were before you got adjusted.
So what counts as, like, I mean...
What counts as water?
Well,
tea,
does my, like,
in
my
the
coffee?
South, no. Tea and coffee do not count. Beer?
Do my margaritas?
None of that counts. Water's water. So tea, most people think, oh, I'll just drink tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a diuretic, which means it takes water away from you and out of the body. A diuretic. Same with coffee. Same with soda.
Mm-hmm.
Soda, pop, Coke, whatever you want to call it, you know, from wherever you are. Coke, you know, pull water out of you. Well, where I grew up, it's soda, but down here it's Coke.
Yeah.
So yeah, that takes that pulls hydration out of you.
What about the Gatorade drinks and everything that everyone?
Not a fan.
Okay.
Why? There's a lot of additives, chemicals, artificial things in there. You can make your own Gatorade. Honestly, I split like half and half with some organic juice and water, and then I put a little tiny sprinkle of Celtic sea salt into it. Tiny sprinkle. And that will help you rehydrate quicker, and help you not feel like labored by drinking water. If somebody's like really not into drinking water because it doesn't taste good, I don't know how you can say it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste like anything. Half and half organic juice with water.
Half water.
If you have to do the juice. If you can just do water with a little pinch of Celtic sea salt, that's like electrolytes, and it's going to help pull water into the cells faster. It's like piggyback. Pulls that water into the cells, you rehydrate quicker, but you don't do that like 4 times a day, just do like once. You know, if you worked out really hard or you're in the yard and you're sweating a lot, just do one bottle with a little bit of that Celtic sea salt. That helps a lot.
Okay.
Good to know.
So those people are drinking like Gatorade, like it's just like, you know, everyday occurrence. It's not really for that. It really should be whenever you're working out hard in the yard. And
I think
like
so. I mean, if you just drink water normally, but if you really need to balance those electrolytes and replenish those because you worked out hard or you're sweating a lot, or let's say you're just outside, you know, hanging out in this weather that we have in Alabama,
today's gorgeous. But yeah, well, later,
outside.
I don't know what it was like now, but.
Listen, it's like, you know, wait 5 minutes and it's going to be different down here.
Yeah.
So, but typically we're going to sweat no matter what. So it could be needed more often. So maybe once a day I would do that. But not enough that you can actually taste a lot of salt. You just want a tiny hint of it.
Okay.
So that's what I buy that brand Celtic, Celtic, sea salt. I think it's the most... natural and the best for your body, and it's not going to like raise your blood pressure or anything because it's not iodized table salt.
Teeny tiny
chemicals.
Okay.
It's from the ocean.
Nice.
So do we have any questions that came in? I thought we did. Sometimes we'll get questions, and you guys out there in podcast land, if you have questions for us, 205-981-8090 is the number to leave a message, or you can email your question via phone or computer, office at graystonechiropractor.com. But if you prefer facsimile, you can always fax us 877-516-0838, and the fax will come to us as well. And we will read your question on air, if that's what this is called.
I believe it is. Okay, we've got a voicemail today from Ruben in Leeds. Here we go.
Hey, Ruben.
Hi, this is Ruben from Leeds, Alabama. My wife and I just found out that we were 7 weeks pregnant. We wanted to know the earliest we could get her adjusted.
Oh, congrats, Ruben and Ruben's wife. 7 weeks, that's awesome. So typically, that's a wonderful thing. Typically, I don't have a starting, you know, requirement time-wise. I would say as early as you can get adjusted. Before getting pregnant would be better. But once you know, immediately. The reason why is because as things start to change, we want to make sure the spine, especially the pelvis and sacrum, are properly aligned, because as the baby grows, especially in weeks, you know, 20 to 40, there's going to be a lot of expansion, contraction, and changes, movements, and we want to make sure that stays well aligned so that baby grows really properly and has the amount of room that they need to grow.
Mm-hmm. So like that hormone relaxin, right?
It's a progestin, relaxin. Okay.
It's moving things around.
Yes, there's a lot of stretching and a lot of laxity of the ligaments so that things can expand. And it's really important for us to check the sacrum and the pelvis to make sure that there's no twisting and pulling or rotation in the pelvis. There's specific chiropractic analyses for that to make sure the womb stays nice and roomy for the baby. But then also checking what sends the hormone cascade down from the brain, and that is through the spinal cord, especially at the atlas, which is the very top of the spine, the upper cervical area, which they've studied numerous times to affect hormone regulation. And so we want to make sure we're checking both of those things. So
that's amazing. I mean, I was blessed and lucky enough to find out I was pregnant while we're working here. So yeah. I got adjusted the entire time.
And prior to it.
And prior to it.
And after.
And I mean, I can just attest, you know, just anecdotally to my own experience as far as, you know, my labor, my delivery was, I mean, it was amazing. Like, all natural. The medication, real easy, really quick. Amazing. And I mean, I attribute that to my chiropractic care and how I'm active the whole time, really. Yeah. It was amazing.
And you worked literally too.
Yeah, I thought I was going into work the next day. Jessie always laughs about the story when I called her up and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm here at the hospital, but, you know, I don't think it's just a false alarm. I'm going to be there tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow at 7:30. And then Daniel called back.
Zelda arrived. And I can attest, all my pregnancies were so much better under chiropractic care. Vicarious pregnancies. Yeah, but my wife would attest to not being able to function without chiropractic care through pregnancies, or really any time, honestly. But
it helped my nausea.
Yeah, didn't quite help her nausea, I would say. Aww. She was sick literally the entire time, every pregnancy.
Wow.
4 times 9 is what, 3 full years of sickness for her.
Oh,
but deliveries were a lot better, I think, than what I've ever, you know, heard stories wise about people who didn't get adjusted during pregnancies. Her labor and delivery were faster each time and more efficient each time, all 4.
Yeah.
The first one was like 40 minutes, so they just kept getting more efficient. 2 of them were at home, you know, so
beautiful.
Pretty amazing thing to be under chiropractic care throughout labor and right after.
Yeah,
so
people to get adjusted right away.
To have a really awesome.
And the babies got adjusted right away too.
Yep, babies right away. So love taking care of babies. So
babies go through a lot coming out.
They do. It's an athletic event, and it is a process. And there is a lot of pressure on the spine and nervous system. That's why I want to check them within a day. So. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up today's podcast. So if there are any questions that you guys have out there, call us 205-981-8090 or email office at graystonechiropractor.com. We look forward to seeing you in the office here in Birmingham, Alabama. For
for
Teresa.
Oh yes, Jesse. I'm Teresa.
And Hunter, I will say thank you and